We live in a messed up world with messed up people. So therefore, it is good that we examine ourselves periodically. Romans 5:12 says that wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. That's us, that's you, that's me. Sin plagues us. Sin bites at our heels. Sin is ever present. It is the means of separation from God. Sin is, we talk about pandemics, we talk about catastrophes, but sin is the greatest catastrophe that man has ever seen, greater than the recent pandemic. It's greater than any weather event that has ever happened. It has affected all men. 100% of us have this problem with sin. And I felt the Lord had led me to preach from James 4, very practical scripture. James is rather blunt, and he says it like it is. And he talks about this problem, even with people that were born again, that were transformed, but they're having problems in their church. And he tells us how to fix that problem. And I'd like to read from James 4, and verses, I think we'll limit it to verses 1 through 11. From whence come wars and fightings among you? That's the church. Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? We have something in us, that old nature, that is warring in our members to get our own way. Lust, that's what it is. Lust is the desire to have our own way. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may be consumed upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulterers, know ye not that the friendship of this world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves, therefore, in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art no more a doer of the law, but a judge. Like most scriptures, there's a lot in here, and there's no way we can get over it all this morning. But I would like to focus on verse 8, where it says, and the title of the message is, Draw Nigh to God. That's a promise. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Want to look at the promise. Then it says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. That is a practice. Get practical about this business of sin And then purify your hearts, ye double-minded. That is a principle that we need to think about as we think about drawing nigh to God. So this morning I would like to invite everybody to examine their hearts. Think about drawing nigh to God. That is really, in essence, what we need to do to be ready for communion. Draw nigh to God. Is there something that is standing between you and God? Number one, point in the message, draw nigh to God, the promise. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. That's a promise. That's guaranteed. But you notice that, it is that we take the initiative, God is there, we must take the initiative to draw nigh to Him. Acts 17 says that you should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He is not far from any one of us. He's right there. God is there. We need to draw nigh to Him. What is it that keeps us from drawing nigh to God? Well, like I said, we must take the initiative. There's many points I can make here, but the first step in drawing nigh to God is maintaining spiritual fidelity to God Himself through faith and trust in Him. Verse 4 says, "Ye adulterers and adulterers, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." I don't know how to place it in starker contrast that if you're a friend of the world, if you are friend with the world, you're an enemy with God. Now think about that. That condition. Are you a friend of the world? Do you like the world? Do you like the world and its system? Do you like the world and its styles? That militates against the relationship with God. James places it in very stark contrast. He tells us we're an adulterer if we love the world, if you're two-timing it with God. So I just ask you the question, are you friends with the world? Love the world. Jeremiah says, "My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, the place of life, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." A cistern is a place where water is kept. They tried to make that. They tried a counterfeit source. And I think sometimes we are in this thing of loving the world, and we try and love God both. Impossible. Impossible. That contrast is stark. Love the world, you don't have a relationship with God. Love God, the world is out. It's that simple. We try and do counterfeit forms of religion so much. Counterfeit. Might mention some of them later. How can we know, then, in practical terms? Well, like I said, fondness of worldly things, you know, the contrast is there. You think of Lot, you think of Abraham. Abraham, everywhere he went, he built an altar. He built an altar and called upon the name of the Lord, it says. His devotion to his God was exclusive. But Lot, you know, Lot tried the other route. He tried the gray route. And he went down to Lot. He was out there in the plains, and he pitched his tents towards Sodom. And eventually, his tent wasn't just pitched to Sodom, towards Sodom. He was down in Sodom, sitting at the gate. How about it? John said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." The contrast is stark. It's clear. It's clearly evident throughout Scripture. There's no in between. It's either the love of the world or the love of God or the love of God. And the world is out. Many places it talks about idolatry. We could go to many scriptures. And that's what it is. How about your heart? What is the idol in your heart? What do you worship the most? Think about your day and your time and your week. The idols, whatever it may be. Fashion, farms, stores, businesses, or do you worship God? That's the test. That's the test, in short. Draw nigh to God, get rid of the distractions. Be pure in your worship to God, and then you will be rid of idolatry, and you can find a meaningful relationship with Him. Number two, cleanse your hands. The practice. How many of you wash your hands with your eyes closed? Wash your hands with your eyes closed. If you want to wash your hands and get them clean, you need to look at what your hands, the dirt that's on your hands, and you need to see the grease, the filth, the dirt, and you take soap and you wash it, and it's very clear. Very clear what you need to get you overcome. You have stains on your hands. You need to wash that to get them clean. We don't get our hands clean until we wash each part of the hand specifically. Specific cleansing. Specific cleansing. This means identifying and confessing the sin. We all sin. This means identifying and confessing the sin in practical areas of life that separates us from a full relationship with God. Isaiah says, "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And He has hid His face from you. His hand is strong. He can still help you, but you don't know God because your iniquities are separating you." It is specific sins that you are committed, that you have committed. I just ask you, frankly, in our world today, have you spent time in listening to worldly music. Concerts, worldly concerts. Worldly humor, funny stuff, entertainment, YouTube, and there can be a whole host of things that you do that with, singing, humor, drag racing. Impurities. Anything goes for YouTube. Are you willing to confess that as sin? Folks, if you want to get drawn eye to God, you need to get serious about these kind of things. I'm serious. It'll keep you from knowing God. And it'll keep your desire from being like God and having an intimate relationship with God. Don't expect to watch humor and funny stuff and worldly stuff on your phone. Or anywhere else, as far as that goes. And expect to have a close, intimate relationship with God. David says it very clearly, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." Down in here, he wants you honest from your heart out. Inward parts. Made me think of a house we once bought that was a tattered, beat up old house. And when the people left the house, they left food in the refrigerator, they left clothes on the floor. They left clothes even on the, or left food in the on the table. And a few years later, we bought this house. And it was a wreck, so we got hired a Traco in. And the first thing the Traco did was take off the roof. And you could see what was in the attic. And then the Traco went a little further, and it, you could see what was upstairs. There were mink coats, and there were so forth. And then it went down another story, and you could see what was on the table and what was on the floor. That Traco was exposing what was in that house. Today, in essence, we need to take a Traco to our hearts and see what's in there. What is in your heart? What is there is found in, what is there we must deal with. In verse 9, it says, "Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness." Get sorry for your sin. That's the way to get close to God. Draw an eye to God. Get sorry for your sin. Have a remorse for the sins that you have committed. Have a remorse for your two-timing it with God. Have a remorse for the violation that you had to the character of God's holiness. Says over in 2 Corinthians 7 that godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Folks, we can all do it. We can all repent. And we all sin. Unless we are affected by a deep sorrow and remorse for our distance from God, we will not find a close, intimate relationship with Him. How do we know? Well, the scriptures would tell us. James says over in chapter 1 and verse 23 that we are to stand in front of the mirror and behold ourselves, the mirror of God's word, and behold and let the mirror tell us what we look like. Expose our sin. Mirror tells you the truth. Regardless of what you know, the mirror, you like what's in the mirror? Most of us don't. The mirror tells us the truth. You know, you have this imagination about the way you look, and then the mirror says, oh, something different. Mirror tells you the truth. We must maintain a distance from sin and the world. We will never be able to have our hands clean if we are in close proximity to sin. Let's face it. Let's face it. Let's be honest about sin. Sin appeals to us. Sin is pleasure. Sin is pleasure, but sin keeps us from God. Cast it off, the Bible says. Throw it out. Cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. I like what it says over in Romans 13 and verse 14. It says, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Provision for the flesh. That is being in the close proximity to sin. That is being in close proximity to the world. Definite barrier between you and God. Third part of the message is purify your hearts, the principle. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Principle underlines the practice. This principle underlines all practice and predisposes you to sin. What you think is what you are. Do you have two spirits, vacillating opinions about who you really want to serve? Purify your hearts. The scripture repeatedly tells us to be radical in our separation and our commitment to Jesus. What we think about is who we will become. Think about that. What you think about, what you feed on, is who you will become. Thinking is a product of our environment. What we think about is who we will become. You want to watch entertainment videos, humor? What you think about is what you will become. Proven over and over again. What you think about is what you will become. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As you think in your heart, what you feed your heart, that's the way you will become. Keys to, and then the last part of the message, as I would like to look at keys to drawing nigh to God. One is found in verse 7, resist the devil. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. A promise. Another promise. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Stand, make your choice. Make your declaration clear that you are taking an irrevocable stand against the devil, his surrogates, and the world. You know what an irrevocable stand against irrevocable means? It means like it's as settled as yesterday. What happened yesterday? You ever try and change it? You can't change what happened yesterday. Take an irrevocable stand. Unchanging stand. That I'm going to stand with God and I'm going to resist the devil. Make your declaration clear that you are taking an irrevocable stand against the devil and all of his surrogates, his people throughout the world and systems and so forth. Do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were faced with worshiping the king. The image. O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. Our God is able to deliver. But if he doesn't deliver us, we're not going to do it anyways. He will deliver us out of thy hand, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. That's an irrevocable stand. No matter what it takes, I'm going to follow. I'm going to do the right thing. Joseph was the same. In the face of temptation, he said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? An irrevocable stand. I challenge you to make that choice today, and you will be able to draw nigh to God. Number two, submit yourselves to God and to God's people for your life. Commit yourself to obedience to the word of God. Choose your allegiance. It will cause the devil to flee. You know, I believe that when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego made that decision, God said, okay, I see you're serious. I'll send my son down there and he'll be in the fire with you. And I believe that when you make that decision, that irrevocable decision, that God will give us grace, says that here in this chapter. God will give us grace to follow him, and the devil will flee. Why are you having so much problems with the devil? Well, you haven't chosen to serve God and resist the devil. It's that clear. You're struggling. You need counseling and you need this, that, and the other thing. The blunt truth is you haven't chosen made the irrevocable choice. Submit yourselves to God. Thirdly, God exclusive prayer. Not our agenda prayer. You know, there's two ways we can pray, at least two. One is you can pray that God would reveal to you truth. And the other way we pray is, I want this. God, would you give it to me? I want this. God, would you give it to me? In verse 2, James addresses that very issue. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have, and cannot not attain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Verse 3 is what I want. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. I want this, God. Why do you want it? Well, I want to look good. I want to look good in the face of the world. Too many times we let the standards of the people around us, the society around us, set our standards for what we want. Are we wholly committed, like we sang this morning, to God's will, His ways, His purposes, alone? God exclusive prayer, not our agenda prayer. Praying, don't expect to win this spiritual conquest unless you have a relationship with God through prayer. He giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Prayer life, the crucial part of prayer life is humility. Brokenness before God. Are you broken that God can hear your prayer? Number 4. I'll just take a word-for-word principle from verse 5. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain? Well, that's just part of the question there. But too many people were saying, the Bible, yeah, it doesn't mean it that seriously. Do you think the Scripture saith in vain? He simply asks the question. If you're going to draw nigh to God, you need to be looking into the Word of God and say, yeah, that's for me. That it too is for me, and that too, excluding nothing. Do you think the Scripture saith in vain? The Scripture is God's Word. It's driven home by God's Holy Spirit. And it's the guide for men of God through the ages, down through the church. The Scripture doesn't say in vain. It has a principle for all of life. Number 5. Self-expression will break brotherhood relationships. Self-expression. We're selfish by nature. And James says it very clearly. Whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your own lusts that war in your members? We must understand we are fighting. We're in the fight against sin and kingdom building together. One of the things that happens in a brotherhood that destroys brotherhood is this thing of selfishness. I want my way. I want my way. You don't understand me. Today, the brotherhood, I want to say very clearly, that the brotherhood is a resource to the individual, and we cannot trample the will of the faithful brotherhood. The brotherhood covenant, the brotherhood agreement. You'll not find yourself close to God if you're at odds with the brotherhood. The brotherhood is the one fence that we have to keep us from being self-centered. The fence there. Or narcissist, proud, selfish. What about yourself, your thought life? Are you infatuated with yourself? Is the only world that goes around, so to speak, your life, your business, your children, your ideas, your interpretation of Scripture, your agenda? My feelings were hurt. That's selfish. Is my pleasure all that I'm concerned about? The real question is, do you want to draw nigh to God? Well, then, you need to diminish yourself. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. What blessedness! What blessed fellowship that we can have with Almighty God when we draw nigh to Him and He will draw nigh to us. We'll now ask the brethren to give their counsel publicly. We want to ask the usual four questions. I am at peace with God, I'm at peace with the brotherhood, and I'm at one with the church, and I would like to take communion next Sunday. That's the questions that we have for you today. Nothing special. They're traditional questions that we ask. But today, let's look at our hearts and see if we're willing to draw nigh to God through the brotherhood.